We are wrapping up our four-week series called Won't You Be My Neighbor? And in this series, Jesus has been teaching us what good neighbors look like. Because according to Jesus, how we treat our neighbor is very important. So important that when Jesus was asked what the greatest commandment was, he said that how we treat our neighbor is the second greatest commandment. Here's what he said in Matthew. Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." This is how important Jesus says being a good neighbor is. And in all the Bible, of all the commandments, loving your neighbor as yourself is the second greatest commandment. And being from Pittsburgh, as soon as we start talking about neighbors, Mr. Rogers comes into our mind, because Mr. Rogers was also really concerned with neighbors. He wanted everybody to be his neighbor. He sang about it all the time. Mr. Rogers had one of the longest running children's television shows in history. And in this show, he actually instilled in the children values that make good neighbors. And Mr. Rogers became known as America's favorite neighbor. But what was Mr. Rogers like in real life? What was he like when the cameras were off? What was he like when there was no audience? What was he like in the real world? I watched the documentary this week about Mr. Rogers, and this documentary was created in 2012 by an executive producer from MTV. This MTV producer, earlier in his life, when he was just getting started at MTV, he visited his mother at her summer cottage in Nantucket, and he found out that his mother's cottage happened to be right next door to the family cottage of Fred Rogers. So this young MTV executive found himself actual neighbors with Mr. Rogers. Now, the two of them struck up a friendship, and after Mr. Rogers' death in 2003, as a tribute, he made this documentary about Mr. Rogers by interviewing the people in Mr. Rogers' life that actually knew him, his neighbors in real life, the people who knew him when the cameras were off, the people who knew him when there was no audience. Now, this documentary revealed that Mr. Rogers was actually an even better neighbor in real life than he was on television. He was the kind of person that everybody who came into contact with him was impacted because of Mr. Rogers. There seemed to be no difference between the Mr. Rogers on TV and the Mr. Rogers at home. But that's not always the case in the world that we live in, right? Sometimes home is the place where we let down our guard. Home is where we can let things slide, because home is comfortable. Home is familiar. Sometimes home is where we can just let things go. Isn't that right? If you're a landscaper by profession, you make other people's yards look great, but sometimes your own yard looks not so great. Because it's home, you can let it go. Sometimes the house of the house painter needs painting itself, but it's home, I'll get around to it some other time. Maybe you're the kind of person that is super neat and organized at work, but at home it's a completely different story because it's home. Maybe at work you're a real stickler about the budget and money, but not so much at home. Sometimes in our most comfortable environments, we tend to relax on the things that would be most beneficial. And this is not just the case with tasks and chores, but it can also be true in our relationships. Isn't it true that sometimes the people that we know the best are the people that have to endure us at our worst? When we have a bad day at work, it's those waiting for us at home that have to deal with our attitudes. When you've had a long, frustrating day with the kids, it may be the unsuspecting spouse that gets the brunt of that frustration. Maybe you are living vicariously through your children, and they're having to deal with all of your unresolved issues. Or maybe your kids are at that age where they just give you all kinds of attitude for no apparent reason other than their home. Doesn't this happen sometimes? Those that are the closest to us get to see the worst of us. And why is that? Maybe it's because deep down inside we know they're stuck with us. Sometimes in our most comfortable environments, we tend to relax on the important stuff, like being good neighbors. Sometimes in these comfortable environments, when it comes to being a good neighbor, sometimes we take a break, sometimes we relax, sometimes we let it slide. And these comfortable environments where we tend to take a break at being good neighbors, it doesn't just happen at home. It happens in any place where we start to feel comfortable. We can get comfortable at work. We can get comfortable at school. We can get comfortable at the gym. We can get comfortable around a certain group of friends. And we can even get comfortable at church. Sometimes we can get so comfortable with our Christian neighbors, the ones that we go to church with, that we can take breaks from actually treating them like neighbors, at least the kind of neighbors that Jesus has been teaching us about. For example, in the book of Galatians, the Apostle Paul wrote this book to a whole bunch of different churches, and in this letter, Paul gives the followers of Jesus in these churches this reminder. He says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Now for the last 3 weeks, we have been looking at this command to love your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus has taught us a few things about loving our neighbors through the parable of the Good Samaritan. Jesus has showed us some things like good neighbors don't make excuses about the kinds of people that they are going to be good neighbors to. Good neighbors meet the needs of anybody who comes into their life by chance with a need, even if that neighbor happens to be an enemy. Jesus also showed us that good neighbors take chances. They take chances with their time. They take chances with their money. They take chances with their resources if those chances can help meet the needs of another person. And even if there is a chance that by meeting that need, life might get harder for us, good neighbors still take chances. And then last week we learned that not only did Jesus teach us the example of a good neighbor, but he went out and he did it for us. He gave up his life for the forgiveness of our sins. And because of this, followers of Jesus, more than anybody else, should know how to love their neighbors, because followers of Jesus have been loved by the greatest neighbor ever in Jesus. Last week we learned that good neighbors know a great neighbor. But look here in Galatians. Paul has to remind these people in this church, these followers of Jesus, that they need to love their neighbor as themselves. And you only need to remind somebody of something when they have forgotten it, right? So apparently, these followers of Jesus have forgotten how to be good neighbors to the people in their own churches. So much so that here is what Paul says in the next verse. He says, "But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another." Do you know what biting and devouring feels like? Do you have a relationship in your life that feels like you are getting eaten alive? Maybe it's nagging, maybe it's criticism, maybe it's hurtful words, maybe it's complaining or gossip, maybe it's anger, but do you know what biting and devouring feels like? It's ugly, isn't it? It's definitely not in line with what Jesus has been teaching us about good neighbors. But apparently in these churches that the Galatians was written to, rather than being good neighbors to one another, these followers of Jesus were biting and devouring each other. Now you would think that in the church of all places, this kind of thing wouldn't happen, right? Because Christians of all people should know what being a good neighbor is all about, because Christians know Jesus, and Jesus was the greatest example of what being a good neighbor looks like. So Christians, more than anybody else, should know how to be good neighbors, especially to each other, right? I mean, the church is where all of the followers of Jesus come together, so this place should be like a good neighbor convention every week. Like, people should be tripping over each other, trying to love one another and meet each other's needs. But sometimes, in our most comfortable environments, we tend to relax on the things that are most beneficial. Now, when Paul was writing to these churches in Galatia, he was writing from the outside looking in. He was observing what was happening among them from a distance. And I'm sure that what he called biting and devouring from an outside perspective was called something completely different from the inside. I bet in these churches, from the inside perspective, they didn't consider that what was happening among them was as ugly as biting and devouring. Maybe they thought that Paul was exaggerating a little bit. Because isn't it true that sometimes when we are in the wrong, we tend to be the last people to see it? Because from our perspective, what we're doing isn't wrong, it's justified. We have good reasons for doing what we're doing, even if other people think it's not right. I bet if you were to interview the people in these churches, the ones who Paul says are biting and devouring each other, I bet you they would have a whole different name for what was going on among them. Maybe they would call it, well, we're just speaking our mind. We're holding each other accountable. We're telling the truth. Not biting and devouring, Paul. That's way too harsh. Maybe they would say things to Paul like, Paul, you'd have to be here to understand what was really going on. Paul, if you knew all of the details, then you would understand why this was happening. Paul, if you were on the inside, then you would see that it doesn't look as bad as it does from the outside. Well, what if the reason that Paul was so harsh with these guys is because of what it looks like from the outside? Jesus said that the second greatest command is to love your neighbor as yourself. And then in John chapter 13, Jesus gives a new commandment to his followers. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. So according to Jesus' new commandment here, how are people going to identify the followers of Jesus? It says, by their love for one another. Do you see that here? According to Jesus, his followers are going to be identified to the world by how they love each other. If you've been in church for a long time, then maybe you've heard the song that goes, and they will know that we are Christians by our what? By our love. Well, that's the song that we sing on the inside about ourselves. But is that the same song that people on the outside are singing about us? Because in Galatia, the song that the people on the outside were singing about the followers of Jesus was, and we will know that they are Christians by their biting and devouring. Is that the kind of song that people are singing about us? Or are the songs about us, do they have different lyrics? When people look at your life and mine, what do they really see? Maybe they see, well, they go to church, they have a Jesus bumper sticker, they listen to K-Love, they post inspirational Bible verses on Facebook, and all those things are great and fine, but what about those other parts of our lives? Those environments where you get really comfortable and start to relax on some things, what do people see then? Well, he says he's a Christian, but at work he does some really shady stuff. Well, I know she's a Christian, but do you hear the way she talks about her husband? Well, I know they're a Christian, but at school they're really mean. Did you hear what they said? Did you see what they posted? Have you spent any time with them? When people look at our lives, do they know that we are Christians by our love or by our biting and devouring? Well, Dusty, nobody's perfect. Believe me, I know that if you're anything like me, we all know that we are imperfect. But last week we learned that our efforts at being good neighbors are not because we are trying to earn anything for ourselves, but every good thing that we've been given from God is because of Jesus. He earned all of it for us. But what if God has a plan? God had a plan to save us in Jesus. What if the reason that God called us to be good neighbors is because he has a plan for that too? Maybe the reason that God has called us to be good neighbors has nothing to do with us at all. Maybe that's why Paul was so upset with these Galatians, because Paul understood that how we treat one another is more important than we think. Maybe Paul understood that the kind of neighbors we are on the inside sends a message to those on the outside. Maybe God has a plan to show his love to the people around us through us. Let me say that again. Maybe God has a plan to show his love to the people around us through us. There's a passage in the book of John where Jesus prays with his disciples. And in this prayer, Jesus prays for all of his followers, those that were in the room with him in the moment, and those who are going to follow him in the future, people like you and me. And in this passage, listen to what Jesus prays for us. Jesus says, Father, I pray that they may be one as we are one, so that they may be brought to complete unity. So Jesus is praying that all of his followers would be one, they would be completely unified. Do you see that here? Now, being one and being unified looks a whole lot different than the biting and the devouring that we see in Galatia, right? So Jesus is praying that his followers would interact with one another, that they would treat each other, that they would love each other in such a way that the people on the outside would look at the people on the inside and they would see unity rather than division. They would see love rather than strife. They would see good neighboring rather than bad neighboring. Do you see all of this? And look at what Jesus says will happen next. He says, "Then the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me." Now, do you see what Jesus is saying here? Jesus is saying that when the world sees what kind of neighbors his followers are, then the world is going to learn two things. They're going to learn that Jesus was really sent from God, and they're going to learn that God really loves them. Do you see that? Now, to put it another way, Jesus is saying that one of the ways that the world is going to learn that God loves them is by looking at the followers of Jesus. Now, let's try to put all this together. This passage shows us that God has a plan for followers like you and me to show the rest of the world that God loves them. And our part of this plan is to love one another, to be good neighbors. And by being good neighbors, God will somehow use us to show the world that God loves them. Do you follow so far? And the greatest display of God's love for the world is Jesus. The Bible tells us that God so loved the world that he sent us his Son. So God's plan is which he calls us to be good neighbors so that other people will see Jesus. If we were to put all this into a phrase, it would go like this. Good neighbors show people Jesus. Now all of a sudden, all of our interactions with other people have a new level of meaning. Now all of a sudden, even our smallest gestures, even our most brief encounters, even our casual conversations, they all become opportunities to show people Jesus. And in God's plan to show the world that he loves them, every single one of our good neighboring moments can be used to point people to Jesus. Now, showing people Jesus can begin in the simplest of ways. Jesus instructs his followers that we are to love one another just as he has loved us. And showing people Jesus can begin in the ways in which we treat one another. Paul was upset with the Galatians because their biting and devouring wasn't showing people Jesus. Their one another moments were showing people something completely different. So what about us? What about our one another moments? Are we showing people Jesus, or are we showing people something else? Especially in those comfortable moments where we tend to relax on being good neighbors. In these comfortable moments of our lives, we tend to think, well, it's only our family. Well, it's only around our friends. Well, it's only at work. It's only at church. They'll forgive me. They'll understand. It's not that big of a deal. Paul reminds us, just like he reminded the Galatians, that we on the inside are showing something to the people on the outside. And the one another moments of our lives, are we showing them Jesus? Or are we showing them something else? Are we painting a different picture? They will know that we are Christians by our love, even in those unsuspecting, comfortable moments. It should be no surprise that there are 59 one another commandments in the New Testament. Things like love one another, forgive one another, be patient with one another, be at peace with one another. And every single time that we carry out one of these one another commands with our neighbors, we are painting a picture of Jesus for the world to see. And the truth is, we have no idea who is watching. And maybe God has a plan for your one another moments to show somebody else his love for them. Who knows, maybe someday somebody will say to you, "I see the way that your family treats each other. I see the way that you carry yourself at work. I notice the way that you are at school. I see how the people at your church care for one another, and I don't understand it. Why are you people like that?" Because of Jesus. Good neighbors show people Jesus, even in the simplest parts of life. I went to a Bible college in downtown Chicago, and every year the Chicago Marathon would happen. It's a really big deal in the city. It's a really big marathon. And while I was in college, the executives from New Balance, who were sponsoring the race, they would come to our little Bible college and recruit students from our school to work the marathon for them. And somebody one time asked the executives from New Balance, how many other colleges are they recruiting students to help work the marathon? And the executive responded, pretty much just this college. And they asked, well, why this small little Bible college? And he said, because we have found that the students from the Moody Bible Institute, they work hard, they are easy to work with, and they don't steal anything. They will know that we are Christians by not stealing the merchandise. Sometimes even the smallest, most insignificant acts of good neighboring can begin to paint a picture of Jesus to the world around us. And sometimes God will use the lives of good neighbors to bring people to Jesus. Peter instructed the followers of Jesus to live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God. The followers of Jesus in the early church took this command very seriously. In the 4th century, the Roman Empire was devastated by a series of plagues that brought massive casualties into the empire, so much so that many of the people fled the city, leaving all of the sick and the dying to fend for themselves. But many of the Christians, the followers of Jesus, they stayed to meet the needs of the sick and the dying and the abandoned. Because of this, Christianity began to spread within the Roman Empire. And the Roman Emperor Julian, in a desperate attempt to stop the growth of Christianity in the empire, he began to write to all the pagan priests trying to revitalize paganism within the Roman world. And in one of the letters that he wrote to one of the pagan priests, here was his observation about why Christianity was spreading in the empire. He writes, "It is disgraceful that while the impious Christians support both their own poor and ours as well, all men see that our people lack aid from us." One of the reasons that the gospel of Jesus spread so quickly in the Roman Empire was because followers of Jesus took seriously the command to love their neighbors as themselves. And in meeting the needs of their neighbors, they showed people Jesus. Good neighbors show people Jesus. So what about us? Are we showing people by the kind of neighbors we are? Are we showing them Jesus, or are we showing them something else? God has a plan to show the world his love in Jesus. And part of that plan is to change his followers into such good neighbors that the world will see the love of Jesus through them. Hopefully you have seen in this series that Jesus' teaching of the Good Samaritan, that followers of Jesus are to love our neighbors like Jesus, our greatest neighbor, has loved us. We are to love the kind of people that come into our life with no excuses. We are to take chances to meet their needs. And in everything that we do, in every action that we take, in every conversation that we have, we are to show people Jesus. In the little things like holding the door for people, helping them with their groceries, and then in the bigger things, like giving up what is ours for the sake of another. And the reason that we do this, the reason that we attempt to be good neighbors at all, is to point people to Jesus, who loved us so much that he became our neighbor and gave up his life for the forgiveness of our sins. Do you believe that? Let me pray for us. God, we thank you that you were our neighbor, that you loved us so much, you sent Jesus to live perfectly and die innocently for the sins that we committed. That by doing so, we were forgiven of our sins and we have your righteousness. That through your resurrection, we have newness of life and a hope for the future. God, I pray that because of what you've done in Jesus for us, it would affect us so much that we would be those kind of neighbors to the world around us. The kind of neighbors who will meet the needs of others, who will show them Jesus in everything that we do, who will meet their needs like Jesus has met ours. God, I pray this week that we would be mindful of this, that you would remind us in every area of our life, in all the comfortable parts of our lives, that we show people Jesus by how we conduct ourselves. God, I pray that we would glorify you by the way that we are neighbors. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.